Okay, we have to pick up from where we left off yesterday. We have to do the last part of the first midrash, that Hashem said to Moshe, Bo el Paro. We had the normal introduction from another place in Tanakh, in this case in Mishle, and it applied to. We applied it to something that was off the topic, even though we took exception yesterday, or we made an exception, and we brought a Sfasemis that did connect it to the topic. That's what was yesterday. Now we're going to go back to this Pasuk. The Pasuk stated in Mishle, Koved Evan V'Netel Hachol V'Chaseh V'Lkoved Mishneim, the weight of a big boulder, and the exertion, the difficulty that there is in taking a lot of sand together. These are small things to God. However, the anger of a fool is more weighty than both of them. And we spoke about that. We said over the how the Malbim explains that in Mishle. And we fitted in to the issue that was relevant in the Midrash. Now we're going to come and put it together with our parsha. Dovar acher koyved evan, the weight of a stone. Now here we're going to use the word of koved, weight, not about weight, but about koved, about honor. Sometimes honor is very weighty. Now what does honor mean? Honor as defined in Svarim, and maybe even the word honor in Webster's might fit the same way, I don't know. But the word kovod that we have, that we normally translate as honor, means that we give something some special recognition. If you're honored, you're singled out, you're given special attention, special recognition for a purpose, for a good purpose. That's what kovod is. So Hashem says like this, we're going to say the honor of the stone is how we're going to say. Now, what is a stone? I never met a boulder that was given kovod. I was never a guest at a dinner. You have to schlep it in, I guess, and it won't drink a l'chaim. So what does it mean, the honor of a stone, huh? Okay, we'll see. We'll see what the stone is. It's referring to something. You're on the right track. So Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Kibadati es Yisrael ba'olam shenikru evan. Kovod here means the honor of Klal Yisrael in the world, meaning that Klal Yisrael is singled out as being unique or special in the world. There are other nations here, other peoples, other cultures, other languages, but Klal Yisrael is Mechubad, Klal Yisrael is singled out, meaning honored. Now, who is honored? Evan. Evan means Klal Yisrael is called stone. How do we know that? So we're going to have a posik. We read it in Vayechi. Kamad Seima, Misham Roe Evan Yisrael. From there is the shepherd of the stone or the rock of Israel. So we Jews aren't on the rocks, but we are rocks. That's what it is. Okay, that's a good question. Now, an Evan can sometimes be a smaller stone, sometimes a bigger stone. Sela means a huge boulder in a mountain. Now, so here, Kovod Evan means the honor of the Jewish nation. Hashem says, I give honor to Klal Yisrael, I give honor to Evan. The Netel Hachol, also I give honor to the Netel Hachol, is also the Klal Yisrael, Einu Yisrael, She Nimshalu L'chol. These are the Klal Yisrael. It doesn't say here, She Nikru, that we're called sand. No one calls us sand, they might call us stone. No one calls the sand, but we're nimshalu l'chol, we're analogous to the sand. As it says, we read this also in the Haftorah of Bamidbar from Hosea, the beginning of the second chapter, Vahoya Mispar Bnei Yisrael Kachol Hayom, that the numbers of the Bnei Yisrael will be so numerous, like the Zam, to like the sands of the sea. That's right, that's true. There are other psukim, so that's a good point. Why is he jumping to Hosea when he could have brought the bracha of the Akedah? It's possible. It's a question. But I'll leave that for right now. It's a good observation, though. Okay. So what does it say? What do you mean, the taking of the sand? What's the natal? COVID, you want to say COVID means COVID, I understand. What does the taking mean? Where does that fit the pattern of COVID? So the Midrash explains, Shenatalti oisam ba'olam, I picked them up in the world. I raised the Jewish people as a pedestal, and the Radal here refers to a pasuk in Yeshaya, Vayinatlem, Vayinasem, Kol Yemei Oilam, that Hashem lifted them up and carried them higher all the days of the universe. So he's saying that the Klal Yisrael are like Kol Shenem, that I took them Ba'olam, Shenatati Natalti Yisam Ba'olam, Ve'omarti, and I said, no one touches the Jews. I said, invoking a pasuk from Zechariah, Kol hanegeya bohem kenegeya bavavaseino, whoever is touching them or trying to do harm to them is like they're touching bavaseino, means really the in the socket, in the eyeball of his eye, but that's really Hashem's eye. It's just written his eye because God doesn't have an eye, and it's analogous, so we don't want to say in my eye as if God is speaking in first person, so it says it in third person. That's what we're going to see. Although the pasuk says bevavas eino, but I'm saying this because of Rabbi Yeshua who's coming up. And he says, tikun seifrim hu, this was a rectification, it was an enhancing or a fixing or a repair job of the sofrim of old. Einiksiv, it says my eye, and it's God speaking, so they said, Eino, his eye. Right, because. Right. Yeah, true. That's because of COVID. That's right. It's not. It's COVID. But that it says Eini, and we read it Eino. But he says, the Marzav brings, that Narsvarim, it's not like that. He says, this is not apparent or to be heard in our Svarim. So he wants to suggest that there's an error in the text here, and he wants to correct it based on a Mechilta in Shlach, in Bishalach, rather. There's the pasuk that Barov Goin Chataros Kamecha, with all of your splendor, those who rise up against you, God will be thrashed. So in the Yalkut it says Kinogea Bavavas Eino, like it's touching his eyeball. So there's a correction there that Rabbi Yeshua says Bavavas Ayin. It doesn't say. It says bivas or bavas eino, which eino is klape maila, toward God, but the posik didn't want to say toward God, so it changed it from first person to third person, and the Mechilta there gives other examples of other precedents in the psukim where there are tikkun seifrim. There are a number here, and the Rashi brings them also. So, but the truth is, the kri and the ksiv, how it's written and how it's read is eino, and we don't read it eini. We don't say it says eini and we read it eino. It's written eino. So, what does it say eini? Is only for the honor of Hashem. So he says, for people, he said eino, his eye. Yeah. Okay. But in any case, that is what Rabbi Yeshua says. It's a tikkun soferim, that it's it's written a ni, and it's really a no. Va'omdu v'hichisu lefonai, and the Klal Yisrael, even though I watched them so much, I gave them honor. They are stowed, and they're outstanding, and there are many like the Chol Hayom, to which they are analogous. So the results weren't as impressive. Va'omdu v'hichisu lefonai. The Klal Yisrael, who is my stone and like my sand, got up, and they did Averis that brought anger, as it were, before Hashem. They were lahachis. Uvikashti lechaloisan ulashlichon me'al ponai. But I wanted Hashem kaviyochel. Hashem said there was a thought process somehow to annihilate them and throw them away from me. Now, so Hashem said, because of the Averis that were in the desert, there was some forethought to perhaps obliterate the Klal Yisrael. Why didn't it happen? Because Kasevil Kovid Mishneim, as much as the stone was heavy and the sand was heavy, and they didn't fulfill my will in spite of everything that I did for them, there is a greater foolishness that I'm going to deal with. And that is the Kasevil is greater, is heavier than both of those. It's a much greater problem, a much greater travesty. So viomarti, so I said, Bishvil Paro Harosha, for Paro Harosha, I'm not going to harm the Klal Yisrael. I'm going to rescue them from Egypt. Why? Shelo Yomar. Paro shouldn't say about me, Shelo Hoya Yochala Hatzilon Vamaraleim Vahargon. He couldn't rescue the Klal Yisrael. He couldn't separate them. So he went and he killed them. We don't want Paro to say that. Therefore, the harm that can come out from Paro is much worse than whatever Klal Yisrael did. Therefore, Hashem says, Paro and Mitzrayim are in my crosshairs. Havei v'chasevil kovid mishneim. The anger posed or imposed by the fool is more severe than both the heaviness of the stone and the sand. Havei ki ani hechpadeti eslibo. I made his heart heavy. I gave him the power to resist so that he would be the one who would be the fall guy, the well-deserving fall guy. Yeah, now, the interesting thing is here, the Yefei Torah adds a little bit of a point. When it says, I honored them in the world like a stone, that's Yaakov Avinu, is Evan Yisrael. And like sand is Yitzchak. By Yitzchak it was said that we will be increased like the Chol, the Pasuk you brought earlier. That's by the Akedah. So he says, still, those Chusim would not have stood up because of the Averis that they committed. And Hashem would have destroyed them. The only concern was, Paro shouldn't say he couldn't rescue them. So he got that stood up. And the anger was taken out on Paro. But how, with what Avera? So Hashem brought him into a situation that he would be hard enough to stand up and resist. And still, he did do the wrong thing. And that's what took him down. Okay, we'll see a little bit further. Dovar Acher, another way in ki ani hichbadati yislibo. Now, so far we said, I made his heart heavy so that he would do the averus and he would perish, rather, or his forces would perish, rather than the Jewish nation perishing. So now we're going to see something else. Hadohu dichsiv. This is what's written in Hazinu. Omarti af ehem. Ashpisa meyenai sichram is the pasuk. I said with af ehem, with their anger, or with my anger on them. I don't know what the word af ehem means. Bahu af ehem, what does it mean? So it's an acronym. Omarti be'api ayehem. Af ehem is api ayehem. With my anger, I said, Vuzenin say, where are they? So Hashem is saying that I'm angry with the Klal Yisrael, and in my way of anger, those who look for the Klal Yisrael are going to say, where are they? They're gone. So Hashem had a, as it were, for lack of a better term, a premonition to wipe out the Klal Yisrael. I'm sorry?
The word Afayim is a difficult and obscure word.
That's right.
Heard nowhere else.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Afayim. Yeah.
How is that translated?
What's the... Oh, you're showing them the word.
Well, the English translations have a hard time with that word.
Yeah, they probably do.
Some translated file, I will make an end of that. It's very obscure. It stops short.
So it seems like it is the anger of Hashem saying that where are they? Now, Dovar Acher, now this is going to be a little difficult because it's going to be hard to tell what the difference between the two pshatim are. Afeyim is, Omarti, I said, Ba'af shehichisu lefonai ayehem. With the anger that they brought, the wrath in which they brought anger before me, I said, where are they? Now this is basically the same thing, but we'll see soon. We'll see the Yafei Torah is bothered by that. What's the difference between the two? So anyway, lo yiyu elo ashpisa me'enesh sichram. They will not remain, they won't be. Since they caused me such anger, where are they means they're not going to be here. Rather, ashpisa me'enesh sichram, I will take them away, their memory, out of the recall of people. They will not be recalled or remembered. So, umi gora lohem she'etsu misham, who caused them that they would go out of Hashem's attention? Lulei ka soye vogur, because of the anger of an enemy that was being preserved. The anger was preserved by the enemy. Now, the first thing that I want to know is, what is the difference between these two pshatim? The Yafei Tohar says there is no real difference as far as the pshat of the pasuk, the simple meaning of the pasuk, there's no difference. There's only one thing that's perhaps less fundamental. The first Perush says that the anger is God's anger. The second pshat says it's on the anger that the Klal Yisrael, that the Jewish nation ignites with their sins, which happened, he brings here in Yafei Torah, in Mitzrayim, with the Egel and with the Meraglim. So in those three incidents where we incited Hashem's anger through our Averus, that is what ignited Hashem to feel, as it were, to take retribution against us. So it's not Hashem's anger, it's the anger that was incited by Klal Yisrael that they had implanted with their Averis.
One possibility that occurred to me, and the idea is that the first Averis takes Amarti, that the off part of the hand is taken as going with Amarti. Amarti Ba'api, Amarti Ba'api, quote, Ayehem. Whereas the second one takes the oldest part of the quote, Amarti, quote, Afehem.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it is. The first one only says Ba'api Ayehem, but it doesn't say Ba'af Sheikhisu Lefonai. I mean, that's what where the Yafei Torah is coming from.
That the Af part is taken as modifying, going with Amarti. Amarti Af, meaning Amarti, is taking Af as a part of Ayehem. Amarti ba'api, I said in my Hashem is saying, I said in my anger, Kabi Yalchol, quote, Ayehem. Second one is taking Amarti ba'af Ayehem. With the Af they created, they were responsible for Ayehem.
No, but Ayehem doesn't change in the second shot. It doesn't really change in meaning. Though. So, I don't know. Okay. Now, let's see. So, but again, it concludes in the same way, which could be going on both pshatim, the first davar acher and the second, that umigora lohem sheyetsu misham or sheyotsu misham. Who caused? Who? What was the catalyst? Or who was the catalyst that they left? If Hashem wanted to destroy them, why were they able to survive and leave? Sandadi says because of the anger of the oyev, of the enemy that was stored, which is the Egyptians, because the Egyptians were a bigger issue, and they had to be taken out, and that falls back, that reverts back to what we said before, that the Egyptians were a much bigger Averis committers, and they would have said that Hashem couldn't take out his nation, so he killed them. So for that reason, Mitzrayim was a greater issue, and they had to be taken out. Here's an interesting dialogue, or I don't know if it's a direct dialogue, if that's the right way, or it's two monologues, I don't know. But davar acher, ki ani hechbadati yeslibo, I made the heart of Paro heavy. So Omar Rabbi Yochanan says, Mikan pischein pelaminim. From here there is an opening of a mouth, which means there is a defense for those who deny God. Lomar, they could say, Lohoisa mimenu sheyase tshuva. That Paro had no means to do tshuva. You know, it was an unfair fight. He had no way to do tshuva. Shenemars, it says, ki ani echbadati yeslibo, I made his heart heavy, which means I made him resist doing tshuva. That's what it means. Reish Lakish doesn't like this. Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Yisosem pihem shel minim. Let the mouths of the minim be sealed. You know, who cares what they have to say? I guess that's a nice way of saying, who cares they have to... he says that from here he wants to say, according to the Marzav, that here, what he's going to say is a proof to close their mouths. It shouldn't be a proof or a defense for them. Rabbi Yochanan, according to the Marzav, wasn't making a statement. He was asking a question. Should we find from here a defense for the Minim to say, well, Paro couldn't have done Shuva? So on that, Rabbi Shlokish says, no. Here is a place to close their mouths. Ella, because it says like this, im lalitzim hu yolitz. We had that today in Daf Yomi. Im lalitzim hu yolitz. If for scorners, Hashem is a melitz, he protects. What does that mean? It means if you want to do better, Hashem allows you to do better. But anyway, Shakodish Baruch Hu Maser Boy Ba'odam Pam Rishon Hashni O Shlishis Veiner Chayzer Boy. If Hashem warns someone one time, two times, three times, and he doesn't want to repent, V'hu Noel Libo Min Hatshuva Kedei Lifroya Mimenu Mashachota. What Hashem does is he locks his heart from doing tshuva. He wants to be a leitz. Hu Yalitz. Okay, let him continue on. So, because Hashem locks the door at that point from doing tshuva, it's going to be not necessarily impossible, but it's going to be very hard to do tshuva. Kedei lefroa mimenu mashachata, in order to get retribution and to punish him for whatever sins he had committed. So the same is with Paro, afkan Paro harasha. Kevon Sheshiger HaKadosh Baruch Hu Heipa Omim V'lo Hishkiach Al Devarav. Hashem sent him five warnings in the Psukim, and he didn't pay attention. Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Ata Hiksheisa Orpecha V'chvadeta Slipcha. You hardened your spine, the back of your neck, rather, and you made your heart heavy. Hareini Moisef Lo HaTuma Al Tuma Secha. I'm going to add more Tuma to your Tuma. Haveki ani hichbadati es libo. I made his heart heavy. So what does it mean, hichbadati? It could have said, chizakti es libo, vayichasek Hashem es leiv paro. What's hichbadati? Shasa kodesh borcho es libo kakovid hashzeh. Hashem made his heart like this liver. He delivered him. Shehi mispashelas shnia va'artasis nichnas b'seicha. She is cooked second time and there are bubbles or bloats that come into it. So it's like a way of speaking of gaiva. So kach nasa libo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu kakovid hazeh. The heart of Paro underwent a major change. It became a liver. V'lo hoya mekabel dvarav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wouldn't accept what God said. Haveki ani hichbadeti eslibo. I made his heart heavy. He was a hot head and a hard head, but I made his heart even heavier because what I did was, says the Midrash, I blocked him from doing tshuva. And he wasn't able to accept my words. So therefore, I was ichbadeti eslibo. Okay.
Meaning it seems to be determined as trying to negate the chira chavshis.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. Now here the Yifei Torah explains that what happened here is he says Rabbi Yochanan holds like the Ikrim when he says there was a Pischon Peh that Hashem removed from Paro the reasons that would bring the tshuva. Like there was no fear, there was no softness of the heart, softening of the heart. So Paro remained with the power of Bechira, of choosing. So he went back to sinning and wasn't humbled to God. Now, had he done real tshuva, God would never have rejected him. So then the Yefas Torah says, the Yefei Torah says that that's what the Pasuk over here means. Ani hechbadeti eslibo, I made his heart heavy, infers that Hashem is preventing him from doing tshuva. But so he explains here, the Yefei Torah, that Hashem only prevented the reasons to do tshuva from Paro. He prevented those circumstances so that Paro would be ashamed from what he did. Yeah. Now, where am I? Yeah, so. But Reish Lakish says that, so what happened is Hashem basically prevented from him, he made him abstain from the reasons that bring tshuva because of his averus, and he wanted to make a Kiddush Hashem in the land by people seeing the wonders of God. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish says, according to the Yefei Torah, that Hashem literally stopped him from doing tshuva because he holds like the Rambam that if there was a great Avera, sometimes when there's a great Avera or there's an incessant period of doing Averas, Hashem takes away the free choice so that the person falls further and further as a consequence of what he did and will get a greater punishment. Yes.
Can I ask a question? Hypothetically, if Hashem hadn't taken away his bakira, it doesn't look like he would have done teshuva. I mean, he was such a nitwit anyway. He was such a fool.
He wasn't a real fool. He was an emperor, capable emperor. He had the power. But you mean in this regard, he was a fool.
There's no way, it doesn't seem like there's any way he would have done it if he didn't do it the first time.
Well, sometimes when your hands and feet are tied, and you see there's no way out for your country, you're going to do certain things.
While the miracle's happening, it seems right. Well, he's that way, then it seems it's over.
That's right. That was orchestrated by God. And the mainstream reason that's said is because that gave him the ability of free choice. Otherwise, he would have cracked under the pressure, and it wouldn't have been out of his choice. Once he was given a choice, he's going to act up and not allow them to be redeemed. So that's basically what's happening over here. What would have been? I don't know what would have been, but you know, only God knows what would have been. But that's what's here. Maybe he would have changed. I mean, there are inferences here in the Midrash, or at least in the Mefarshim, that if God didn't want him, if not for the fact that God did not want him to change, he might have actually been able to change for the better. But God's purpose wouldn't have been fulfilled. Right. That's right. Yeah, that's true. But there was a chance to do tshuva. Paro wasn't given the chance because his track record was really horrible, and he needed, for the sake of justice, he needed to be punished. And so that seems from the Rambam. And for that reason, he was led on without a choice. Yeah, I'm tremendously worn out.